Geek Radio Daily. For not Monday. Not anymore. And that's right. You know, we closed that out last night playing Jackbox stuff. And, you know, hi everybody that showed up. It wasn't our game, but it was. Like, all the same people float. It's this thing we do. If there was a way to make money touring the country playing Jackbox, we would do it. Hey, Hollywood, you need some people. We can film it. It would be awesome. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the 30th of June. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. And once again, I've already led you astray. I've used the magic word we, and because of a slight sort of family emergency type of thing, we today will be you and I, the wonderful Billy Flynn. So let's get down to it, shall we? On this date in 1879, the first electric company in the U.S. to produce and sell electricity, California Electric Light Company, is established in San Francisco, California. Hey, you guys! You can buy it. 1905, Albert Einstein publishes the article On the Electrodynamics of Moving Bodies, where he introduces the concept of special relativity. 1908, about 7:15 a.m., northwest of Lake Baikal in Russia, a huge fireball nearly as bright as the sun is seen crossing the sky. Minutes later, a huge flash and a shockwave was felt up to 400 miles away. It was the Tunguska meteorite traveling at over 60,000 miles per hour. The rock came out of the torrid meteor storm that crosses Earth's orbit twice a year. 1946, Able, the first U.S. atomic bomb, is dropped as part of Operation Crossroads. They dropped it where the devil is? 1956, telephone recording devices are first authorized for use in the U.S. outside the government for the first time. To comply with FCC regulations, recording devices must periodically beep to make those using the telephone line aware that their conversation is being recorded. 1971, the crew of the Soyuz 11, cosmonauts Georgi Dobryovsky, Viktor Plastichich, and Vladislav Volkiv suffocate after undocking from the Salyut 1 space station, where their air supply escapes through a faulty valve which accidentally opens as the service module separates. These are the first human fatalities in space. 1972, a leap second is added to UTC time for the first time. Same day, same year, the sci-fi film Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, directed by J. Lee Thompson, starring Roddy McDowell, Don Murray, Natalie Trundy, Caesar, the son of Cornelius and Zira, who, spoilers, died in the previous film, leads a rebellion against the humans. 1973, a solar eclipse predicted to be the longest for 1,000 years is observed by American, British, and French scientists aboard the French prototype Concorde 001 supersonic aircraft. Supersonic. 1982, it is estimated that there are video game machines in about 8 million U.S. homes. 1986, Mark Caesar, age 14, and Robin Hallingstad, age 16, file a suit against Atari for $1 million plus profits, alleging the company stole their idea for a video game that was marketed by the name of Paperboy. 1995, Hollywood Pictures releases the comic book action film Judge Dredd, directed by Danny Cannon, starring Sylvester Stallone, Diane Lane, Armand Desante, Max von Sydow, and Rob Schneider. There's half of a good movie in there. Same day, same year, Universal Pictures releases Apollo 13, directed by Ron Howard, starring Tom Hanks, Kevin Bacon, Bill Paxton, Gary Sinise, Ed Harris, and Kathleen Quinlan. 1996, IBM closes its only factory outlet store after more than 2 years of operation in Morrisville, North Carolina, stating that telesales have overwhelmed the storefront operation. 1998, Take-Two Interactive releases Grand Theft Auto for the PlayStation. 1999, Warner Brothers releases Wild Wild West, directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, Wild Wild West, starring Will Smith, Kevin Kline, Selma Hayek, Wild Wild West. The film was inspired by the 60s television series of the same name. It's the film where John Peters finally got to use his damn giant spider, Wild Wild West. 2000, Dr. Alan Chow, his brother Vincent, an electrical engineer, announced they have successfully implanted silicon microchips beneath human retinas. And you thought Bill Gates is going to do it. The chip is smaller than the head of a pen and about half the thickness of a sheet of paper. It contains 3,500 microscopic solar cells to convert light into electric signals to replace damaged photoreceptors within the retina of a previously damaged eye. Same day, same year, United States President Bill Clinton uses an electronic card and his dog's name as a password to e-sign a new bill into law that makes such electronic signatures legally binding in contracts. 2003, Activision sues Viacom, alleging that its 10-year exclusive deal to produce Star Trek video games is depreciating in value due to Viacom's neglect of the franchise. 2004, Sony Pictures releases Spider-Man 2, directed by Sam Raimi, starring Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, James Franco, and Alfred Molina. 2009, the original CompuServe Information System, which was the first major commercial online service in the U.S., is discontinued by its parent company, AOL. Same day, same year, in Portland, Oregon, Comcast becomes the first major cable in the U.S. to launch wireless broadband service at a speed of 4 megabits per second. Grease to lightning! Birthdays! Lizzie Kaplan's 38 from Mean Girls, Liberties, Hot Tub Time Machine, something else I've forgotten. Brian Bloom is 50 from The Stuff, Vampirella, In Batman Brave and the Bold, he was Captain Atom, the Creeper, Iron, Oxygen. In The Avengers Earth's Mightiest Hero, he was Captain America / Steve Rogers. Rupert Graves is 57 from V for Vendetta and Lestrade in Sherlock. Vincent D'Onofrio, Full Metal Jacket, Men in Black, Kingpin and Daredevil, Wizard in Emerald City. Probably shouldn't mention that. David Alan Greer is 64 from A Soldier Story, Amazon Women on the Moon, In Living Color, and Blank Man. David Garrison is 68 from It's Your Move. He was Steve on Married with Children and was the original Wizard in Wicked. No longer with us, born this date in 1899, Madge Bellamy from White Zombie. 1917, Lena Horne, legendary singer, and Glinda in The Wiz. 1919, Ed Yost invented the hot air balloon. And 1934, Harry Blackstone Jr., an American magician and author. Magic kits with his name on it were sold in every single department store in the world. Looking at the tube tonight, CBS got a rerun of NCIS, Phoebe and Phoebe Most Wanted. ABC's got a rerun of The Conners, a rerun of The Conners, a rerun of Blackish, a rerun of Mixedish, and then a Utah detective asks investigative genetic genealogist C.C. Moore to work her first active case involving the rape of a 79-year-old woman on The Genetic Detective. NBC Audition 6 on America's Got Talent and The Hot Case on a new World of Dance. Fox has 2 hours of Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back, which would make it 48 hours, but that's not the name of the show. The CW, the ISA, meets to determine who is coming after them on a new Stargirl. Then Barry Brewer, Chicago, I'm home. Freeform is showing Easy A. I can't say what I want to say next. FX will be showing Tooken 3. FXX has a Simpsons marathon. They've got The Bart of War, wonderful first season episode. Boy Meets Curl and Doe Canada. Doe Canada. We don't know the rest of the words. FXM has Kingsman, The Secret Service. IFC has got a Parks and Rec marathon because, you know, it's about time they got rid of 2.5 Men. BBC America showing Star Trek. Yes, that's the new one. Paramount Network has got Tommy Boy. Sci-Fi Channel, appropriately enough, showing Apollo 13. Huh? Way to know what things are. TBS has Celebrity Show Off. Depends on the celebrity. True TV. Mary hosts a benefit event in Pittsfield to try and save the community theater, expand her product reach, and to pitch the idea of a comedy tour on a new Turdy Works. But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. 6 months after losing their newborn baby, a young couple struggles to cope with their loss before trying to start a family again. But the aspiring father becomes concerned for his wife when she becomes obsessed with another mother and her daughter. Katie Leclerc and Jeff Shine star in A Mother Knows Worst.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. The Pledgers are sent on a special quest to get a very specific birthday present for Will, but their adventure is going to be about more than just finding that gift. Meanwhile, Chad tries to get closer to Professor Marlena, and Chad tries to smooth the awkward chemistry he has with Abby, as well as Professor Abe, and he will, because Chad is smooth as an A.A. Ron Stone. He is so smooth, he's a skyrunner. He can always handle what lies ahead. Hashtag Chappy forever.
It's time to check your mailbox.
Hey, GRD, I keep seeing where you play stuff like Jackbox and you do the poker and stuff, but you say during the week, like Mondays and stuff, that like this guy Mark is also doing Jackbox things, but you don't tell us what Mark that is. And there's quite a bit of Marks that are on Facebook. Could you help somebody out, maybe? That is from Timothy. Well, Timothy, yes, indeed, we could. So tomorrow night, Wednesday, we should be playing again with Mark hosting yet again. And on that one, I'll be sure to put up a link inside of the GRD Facebook page and our own, because I am prevented by law from telling you Mark's last name here. The law being, he hasn't given me enough money yet. But if you'd like to start up some kind of a donation, by all means, why don't you write in and tell us what donation you're going to make. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, we can take it by text or by voice. All you got to do is use the number
510-GRD-CREW.
Cookies are always good.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. What they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict, Marines, Part 1 of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Hi, I'm James Caan, semi-renowned writer, musician, doctor, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
You absolutely are. And if you ever read a movie novelization in the 80s, chances are you were reading yourself some James Caan and having a damn fine time.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Come on. Sure we do. They're all that and video games. What else is left? Today, though, documentary department Nova, The Truth About Fat. Oh, well, never mind. Must be anime based on title alone, Sengoku Basara, The Last Party. From our re-release department, Wild Palms, that weird, trippy 1990s miniseries that Oliver Stone had something to do with. Regular movies department, we've got The Art of Life. Street Survivors, The True Story of the Lynyrd Skynyrd Plane Crash. Ooh, that smell. Bible Conspiracies 2. Hag of the Black How Moor. The Whispering Man. Rise of the Foot Soldier, The Heist. And Miss Fisher and A Crypt of Tears. But if anything, we're going to get the story of a mummy of unknown origin that was discovered in Peru that could be the greatest discovery of all time. It's a remarkable ancient mummified body, three fingers on each hand, discovered in Nazca, Peru, dating back 1,600 years or more. Some experts say it's evidence of an ancient reptilian race. Are we looking at the remains of gods that, according to many ancient texts, descended from the heavens in the distant past? Or are we looking at an alien species that existed on Earth long before humans came into existence? Find out as you explore the mystery of the alien mummies of Peru.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Taking a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, thank you so much, Courtney, for being here today. It's hard to do this by myself. DC Comics readers will have to wait a bit longer for Brian Michael Bendis's event Leviathan Checkmate Limited Series, as the company postponed the title indefinitely. Comics have a vacation mode? DC promised the title will be rescheduled to align with the upcoming DC Universe storylines, because Event Leviathan Checkmate, written by Bendis, penciled by his former Daredevil collaborator Alex Maley, was originally announced to be released April 22nd. But had to have that pulled because of the coronavirus pandemic. Then it was set to be June 2nd, but missed that as well. Meanwhile, a second spinoff called Manhunter's Secret History was just straight up canceled. Or the Manhunters set up a blockade and prevented their secrets from being known. Event Leviathan Checkmate spins out the events of Bendis and Maliev's 2019 event, Event Leviathan. In the story, the malevolent organization Leviathan, now led by former Manhunter Mark Shaw, who also goes by the name Leviathan, takes over the DC Universe's espionage underground. The middle game is always so vexing. It's like a perpetual check. Opposing Leviathan is a new version Checkmate, which is comprised of Lois Lane, Green Arrow, Talia al Ghul, herself, Leviathan's former leader, and the question to covertly combat Leviathan. Will this affect its ELO rating? Written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by Alex Maleev, Event Leviathan Checkmate currently does not have a release date, which means, for all of our plans, all we can say is, Jadoob! I really hope you play chess. George A. Romero's lost film, titled The Amusement Park of the Dead? No, just The Amusement Park. A movie completed 46 years ago, but not released in the public, could potentially be released. Moose Outside told me Amusement Park was closed. The creator of Dawn of the Dead and Night of the Living Dead passed in 2017, but Yellow Veil Pictures has reportedly secured the rights to this project, which they dub as an alluring snapshot of the filmmaker's early artistic capacity and style. Really? More so than There's Always Vanilla? Originally commissioned by the Lutheran Society as a project that would showcase the issues of elder abuse and ageism, the filmmaker used the topics to create a film about an elderly man that finds himself disoriented and isolated as his struggles are manifested in roller coasters and large crowds. Wait, is that... It's a sequel to The Crazies, right? Suzanne Romero says, though not in the horror genre, it is George's most terrifying film. It has Romero's unique footprint all over it. Yellow Veil Pictures is now actively trying to find distributors to release the project to the general public. And, you know, since we have so many streaming sites, this should not be a problem. Unless Martin uses his two evil eyes to hypnotize the Knight Riders into keeping this project down. But I believe in the survival of the dead. Harley Quinn has wrapped up season 2 in a very interesting way. Yeah, that was definitely a thing I knew. Well, now she's getting some new digs, because Harley Quinn's going to be headed to HBO Max sometime in the near future, which might mean some consolidation for the Warner Brothers streaming site. And, as many of us ask, is the DC Universe going away then? According to Reddit, a newsletter was sent out to HBO Max subscribers listing Harley Quinn as being one of the things coming to the platform in the near future, coming soon. Which is actually standard goon operating procedure. If the newsletter is true, Warner Brothers is yet to confirm the matter in any way. It could mean a new step in the strange relationship between the sister streaming services of HBO Max and DC Universe. Both claim to serve fans of DC's superheroic outings, but we've talked about this before. HBO only has a small sampling of what DC Universe offers, with no clear rhyme or reason to what content it does or doesn't have.
That's what the CW is for!
Not a bad... But if DC Universe originals are finally going to start showing up on HBO Max, it might just be showing that a bigger move to consolidate the two platforms, harmonizing their content offerings, or even eventually closing the DC Universe entirely is possible. Or just let DC Universe have, you know, Catwoman, Steel, and that Wonder Woman pilot. No one knows anything for sure, but there is certainly an identity crisis between the platforms. Is HBO going to contain the universe? Will DC just go to comics? All we know is that DC currently faces a crisis. In a move that seemed to come out of nowhere, Twitch suspended massively popular streamer Guy, Dr. Disrespect, BAME, a band that, unlike the president's, is permanent. But, you know, he can always just try Mixer. Oh, wait. Many big-name partners were recently removed from the service due to sexual harassment, inappropriate conduct, and worse yet, messaging sexually explicit content with underage girls. Note, I don't see underage women, because women aren't underage. In regards to Dr. Disrespect, people thought that he'd raised a red flag in Twitch's increasingly aggressive DMCA detection system, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Industry insider and journalist Rod Slasher Breslew said on Twitter, according to his sources, the ban is permanent. Streamer Shannon Z Killer, Plante said she heard from the same from her sources, adding the issue is serious. But look, if this is about him disrespecting someone, obviously it's okay. He is a doctor. When reached for more information on why Dr. Disrespect has been suspended and for how long, a Twitch representative said, "As is our process, we take appropriate action when we have evidence that the streamer has acted in violation of our community guidelines of terms of services. These apply to all streamers regardless of status or prominence in the community." Okay, fine. But what did he violate? Twitch is refunding viewer subscriptions to Dr. Disrespect's channel and removing his emotes as well. It appears the platform has revoked his partner status as well. But you know who hasn't been revoked? Richie Munster! See him Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. He's never streamed from a public bathroom! Over the years, Dr. Disrespect has gained a reputation for towing the line and getting away with stunts that other streamers would probably have been punished for. Most recently, he spread and endorsed baseless coronavirus conspiracy theories, receiving no public punishments even after another streamer got suspended over coronavirus jokes. And we don't want that's spreading. He's made a habit of engaging in various sorts of toxicity while leaning on his Dr. Disrespect character to give himself plausible deniability anytime he takes things too far. Despite that, and because of his knack for over-the-top humor, he's one of Twitch's biggest, most well-promoted stars. Last year, he got a TV show development deal. Earlier this year, he announced he signed a multi-year deal to stream exclusively on Twitch, a deal allegedly worth as much as $10 million per year. What? I mean, wait, in my Jackbox stream, the worst that can happen is we all call you out for being on Pornhub, okay? You know who you are. The future of his whole career appears very much up in the air. And why? We're not sure. But if it is an escalation of the type of behavior he has exhibited before, I can respect that. A new species of spider has been discovered in Iran and is given a name based on Joker star Joaquin Phoenix. Is it the creepiest Commodus? And why him? Couldn't they have gone with Mark Hamill, Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger? Hell, I would have settled for Cesar Romero. The species called Luridia Phoenix was first discovered in Iran and was the first Luridia spider, named after late musician Lou Reed of Velvet Underground fame, to be identified outside of the Mediterranean region. The name was coined due to a red and white pattern on the backs of the males of the species that look like the Joker's iconic grin. But since they only are like 0.3 inches long, you'd need a magnifying glass to really see the pattern. Or I can just take their word for it. As noted by arachnologist Aliria Zamani, a biodiversity doctoral candidate at Finland's University of Turku, finding Luridia spiders, which are part of the Israeli family, also called velvet spiders, thanks to their thick and silken fur, have displayed bizarre behaviors that have intrigued arachnologists. It's a problem, as they only come to the surface for about 3 weeks
a year. Oh my god. They spend most of their time in collaboration with the mole people.
These spiders spend most of their lives in the subterranean nest, Zamati said. She said that males usually leave their burrows to hunt for females, while spiderlings who have left their mother's nest go to the surface as well. In addition, scientists are still looking for the presence of females going to areas where males were found. Which makes that a little more relatable. Now I kind of want to see a sitcom about all this. Ideally, if you have enough time and patience, it would be interesting to track a wandering male. He should know how to find a female better than anyone else, Zamani added. This way, you would also have the chance of observing and photographing the actual mating behavior, which has not been documented for any Liridia species yet. Did you folks try the aforementioned Pornhub? We would tell you when the 3 weeks that they are above ground are, but we felt you should just lay down tonight and think about the hundreds of imperceptible Joker spiders smiling at you from a corner. Sweet dreams. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And tomorrow night we'll be playing Jackbox with Mark. Friday night we'll be doing the one GRD, and we'll be streaming that, and that'll be all kinds of fantastic. We're playing poker again on July 11th. We're going to put all this stuff up in the thing so nobody can miss it. Looking forward to seeing you around, and drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or give us a call and give all kinds of well wishes to folks that aren't here right now, because, you know, nobody wants to wish me well. Just dial the magic number of
510-GRD.
And we'll see you.
That was lame.
No, it must not end like this.
It seems I found myself on a voyage of the damned.
Good night, suckers.
Oh my god, look at this place. It's like a museum of failure.
There's a man. He was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was set upon by men of ill intent. They stripped the traveler of his clothes, they beat him, and they left him bleeding in the dirt. And the priest happened by, saw the traveler. They moved to the other side of the road and continued on. And then a Levite, a religious functionary, he came to the place, saw the dying traveler. But he too moved to the other side of the road and passed him by. But then came a man from Samaria, a Samaritan, a good man. He saw the traveler bleeding in the road, and he stopped to aid him without thinking of the circumstance or the difficulty it might bring him. He carried him to an inn, gave him all the money he had for the owner to take care of. I always thought that I was the Samaritan in that story. It's funny, isn't it? How even the best of men can be deceived by their true nature.
What the hell does that mean?
It means that I'm not the Samaritan. That I'm not the priest or the Levite. That I am the ill intent who set upon the traveler on a road that he should not have been on.